He's my guiding star that's shining all the way. Isn't that amazing? He is a guiding star. We remember there was a guiding star that directed the wise men to the home or the house there where Jesus was just as a young boy. There was a guiding star. And certainly, He is our guiding star today, is He not? Amen. Be honest with you. Had me a Christmas message on my heart till that Christmas play last night. God got to dealing with me. I thought about it all the way through the play. Kept motivating me, felt like. And then I got to thinking about it when I got home. And my dad called last night after he got home. He had come all the way from Henderson County to see the play last night. And he called to tell y'all what a good job you'd done. And I was talking to him about a thought the Lord laid on my heart. And it blessed me just to get to tell it to him. And I feel like it's what the Lord would have me preach on today. It's found in the book of John chapter 19. Don't get mad at me because I'm not preaching the Christmas message to you today. I know everybody's in the Christmas mood. And I'm glad you are. Not in a fit of anger. Nobody's mad. No wrath. Nobody yelled at nobody on the way to church. I'm about to preach that message again, ain't I? In fact, I heard a few people that came to me and said, "Preacher, I sure am glad you preached that because I needed it during the week." What about that? What about that? John chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, a very familiar piece of scripture. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's holy word together. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Boy, I've examined him too. I find no fault in Jesus. Amen. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, "Behold, the man." I feel like the Lord would have us be interested today in this crown of thorns. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us today. God, the very one that spoke to us last evening is the very one who deals with us today. Lord, I pray you would be the one that helps us to preach today. Lord, we'll preach by no other power other than by the Holy Ghost. There will be nothing else done here. No one will be blessed. No one will be encouraged. No one will receive the engrafted word of God without the help of the Holy Ghost today. Father, we look to you. We don't look to our knowledge. We don't look to anything other than you. You're the one spoke. We've heard. I pray, God, you'd help us deliver what you've told us. We ask these favors in Jesus' precious name, thanking you for the crown of thorns that Jesus wore. Amen. May be seated this morning. Last year, for the play, we wore this crown of thorns. Now, I try to tell everybody all the time how unworthy that I am to even try to portray that, but this is the crown of thorns. This actually came out of the Middle East. It's not like a thorn bush you're going to see around here. It actually came out of the Middle East. Very, very sharp. In fact, nowadays you probably wouldn't be able to put this in your suitcase and get it home. It would be considered a weapon. Okay, terrorists, because of terrorism, you wouldn't even be allowed to get this home today. But some years back, I had some folks that brought me that. Feel that, brother. Pretty sharp, like a needle. Pretty sharp. You can see how long most of these thorns, 1 to 2 inches long, most every one of them. Not like the little briars you see around here. I went out yesterday before the play. I was walking on the hillside. There's a briar bush out there in right in front of the Austin Center out there. And I took it and I broke it. It was dried up. It didn't really even harm my hand. And I take this and I put it on my head last year. And actually, when I put that crossbar behind my head, it implanted one of them thorns into the back of my head. And it caused me to bleed. And I come home with a bloodied shirt. And it sure did hurt awful good, but I didn't really have time to say ouch. But I got to thinking even last year about this message and probably been thinking and studying on it for about a year. And again last night when I put it on,
bless you, Lord.
Them guys at the back that walked me down, every step I take, that thing seems to get deeper. And like right now, it's really poking me here and here. It's deeper and deeper in my skull. And as I'm walking, every step I take, it seems to want to penetrate into my skin. Somebody said, you should have wore something on top of your head, preacher, to put it on. And somebody else said to me, preacher, let me cut the inside of that out so that it won't hurt you. And I really appreciate folks being concerned for their preacher, not wanting to see him get hurt or bloodied up. But Jesus, who's greater than all of us, he didn't have that option. And they put this crown of thorns on him, and I believe it has some significance. And I would like to study the crown of thorns, if you would, this morning study with me. First of all, I want us to see in John chapter 19, in these first few verses, first of all, the Lord Jesus' misery, or we might say his suffering. Let's note here what's happened to him. Verse 1 says, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, Pilate being a Roman, the Roman way of scourging would be, first of all, to strip maybe down to a loincloth or less than a loincloth, which would be completely naked, would have stripped the Lord Jesus and would have taken a cat of nine tails, which is what you know as a whip, but on the end of the whip it has nine different tails off the end of it. And on the end of that cat of nine tails is a section of bone that is very sharp, and when it whips and snaps, it would catch the skin and lacerate the skin. My cousin down in Atlanta took a cadaver, and when he hit it one time with a cat of nine tails and jerked, it jerked out 2-inch sections, and that's on dead flesh, on a cadaver. It would rip even more on live flesh. Note this, that the Jewish way of scourging is to take someone and lash them 39 times, times 9 cuts per lash, times 2 inches per cut. That's a lot of stitching that would need to be done. A lot of blood would have been produced. A lot of pain, a lot of anguish, and a lot of suffering. Yes, I know that it sounds gory. And you may choose to look away, and you may choose not to listen to me today, but the fact remains, he did that for us. And you may not want to hear it today, y'all, but that's love. That was the beating that you deserved. You may say, I didn't deserve that beating. Friend, you were the ones committed to sin. Amen. Jesus was innocent. He took our punishment.
Amen.
Now, note that it was Pilate that rendered the scourging. I began to study some Roman law and what the Romans thought. And the Romans could go above and beyond 39 lashes of scourging. They were not under the Jewish law. Jesus may have received more of a beating at the hand of the Romans than we give him credit for all we know. But at least 39 lashes, more than likely, a 90% probability, he received more. Understand, he was stripped. Imagine the shame that he would have felt to be stripped. Imagine how you'd feel to be stripped, much less to be scourged, but just to be stripped in the middle of all these folks. Boy, it'd be shameful, wouldn't it? It'd be horrible. But remember something, that back there in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve got into sin because of disobedience, what did they know? They knew nakedness. They were in nakedness and in shame. Why? Because of sin. And now our Lord Jesus Christ, because of sin, he's been shamed and stripped completely naked. We won't stop there with just the scourging and the stripping, but the Bible says that they planted a crown of thorns. Now, those briars back here next to the Austin Center that I handled yesterday in Avery County, they were dried up and wouldn't even penetrate my skin. This crown of thorns that I have, is a number of years old, and it's very much dried up, you can tell. It's still very sharp and can cut you quickly. But imagine what a green thorn bush out in Avery County would do. Boy, it'd tear your hand all to pieces. Amen. Some of y'all have been in the thorn and the thistles. Now, think about Jesus. They would have taken this crown of thorns and would have plaited it together with green thorns on it, friend. A green thorn that comes out of the Middle East is like a needle. A lot of y'all don't even like to go to the doctor and just get a simple shot. He had basically needles stuck in all over his head. Not only did they just set it on him, I was so careful last night to wear this every step I took, and there's a place where I fall on my knees, and oh, how it just drives that thing right into the back of your head. And even the guys that handle me are careful not to try to hurt me with this thing. But our Lord Jesus, you can study other scriptures, they probably took and drove this thing down into his head. With a reed, they would have smote him and driven this down into his head. And all these capillaries around the head are quick to produce blood. And can you imagine how the blood, not only on his back, but now on his head, was shed because of our sin. Oh, my friend, he had misery and agony and great suffering. Not only that, but they put on a purple robe, a robe of mockery. They began to fall in front of him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, I don't know what you feel like when people make fun of you, but I've been made fun of by about 10 or 15 at a time, made fun of just little old me, and I was fighting mad about it. And it really hurt my feelings, and there was nothing I could do. And I'm going to tell you what, Jesus was made sport of, and he did it without a word. He was completely silent. Not only did they bow in front of him, but the Bible says they smote him with their hands. Imagine, here he is bleeding and lacerated, and they come by and slap him through the face. And they would even say, "Prophesy unto us who it was that slapped you through the face." He knows full well. He knows full well. But he never said a word. Then they took and spit on him. Imagine this morning if I just chucked one back. And it landed on you. You'd be offended. Especially, not if I did it by accident, but if I did it on purpose to try to humiliate you and cause you shame. You imagine this morning how you would feel, but our Lord Jesus took spitting upon that you and I wouldn't have to be spit on in hell. The devil will never spit on me, amen, in hell. Hallelujah amen. To God. I'm glad for that this morning. Do you see this morning how he was treated? And even the words I speak today, they seem so small to what really happened that day with the misery and suffering that it would have caused. Yet it is the crown of thorns that we're interested in, and just the crown of thorns and its symbolism this morning. Certainly, you know, whoever would wear this is someone who's knowing suffering. Amen? Second of all, I want you to notice that this crown of thorns not only represents misery, but I believe it represents Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission. You say, "Why, preacher?" Well, he's wearing a crown of thorns that is not necessarily because of his sin, because he had never sinned, but it's because he's going to bear our sin. You see, the very crown of thorns, and this is where I started thinking last night, what God started speaking to me even last year, that this crown of thorns represents sin. That's what it represents. Every one of these little thorns that stick out here, symbolic of sin, I thought, boy, how piercing sin can be. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see something about these thorns here. Genesis chapter 3. Realize in this chapter, the Lord God has come hunting for Adam. Adam's been in sin. And go all the way down with me to verse number 17, Genesis chapter 3. God's going to send out some punishment because of their sin. And unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns, do you see that? Thorns also, and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now, what is this? A crown of thorns. The thorns and thistles were brought about because of Adam's sin. God cursed the ground and said thorns and thistles will be produced. It is the curse of God, a thorn or a thistle. Right out here in Avery County, in front of our Austin Center, right out here, there's a briar bush. Those briars are representative of the curse of God on this earth because of man's sin. Note this morning, Jesus, they planted a crown of thorns. God allowed them to put this crown on His darling Son, His Son in whom He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He allowed Him to be crowned with the curse of sinners. Every one of those thorns represents my sin and your sin that produced His pain, His suffering, His misery, His blood to be shed. Make no mistake about it. The crown of thorns, my friend, represents the Lord Jesus Christ's substitution. It is you and I, since we are the sinners, it is you and I that should be wearing this crown. When those boys said, preacher, let me get some cutters and cut the middle of those thorns out so it don't hurt you, I thought, hardly. It's my sin. It's because of my sin these thorns are here. It's because of my sin. It should be me wearing this crown. You know what? We ought to have to wear this crown each and every day of our life. And for all of eternity in hell, we deserve to be wearing the crown of thorns. But our Lord Jesus Christ came with a mission to substitute He that is holy for the sinner. And He bore the crown of thorns in my place and in your place, that we wouldn't have to know the pain and suffering and the agony of the crown of thorns. Bless His holy name. I want to further demonstrate this point in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, if you would turn there with me this morning. Hebrews, chapter 6. It is again the curse of God, the crown of thorns. You think about it this morning, friend. What was it Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, allow this cup to pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He said in other scriptures, I delight to do thy will, O God. That's what He said. I delight to do thy will. The will of God was for His Son to bear my sins on that cross, to bear my crown of thorns. Jesus said, I delight. I delight to wear this crown for you. Whew. Blesses me through and through. It was His delight. Think about how He was stripped there and shamed in front of everybody. We'll read another verse here in just a minute. You're in chapter 6. Hold that place and go with me to chapter number 12. Look at verse 2. I can quote it, but I want you to see it this morning. We're coming back to chapter 6. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame of what? The shame of the cross. The shame of the scourging. The shame of the crown of thorns. The shame of being stripped. The shame of being slapped and defied. The shame of being mocked. The shame of being spit upon. He despised the shame. But guess what? And He is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He ain't wearing a crown of thorns no more. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Back in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 7 and verse number 8, the Lord makes some comments in these verses about the earth. You know, my Bible tells me in the Revelations, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Are you familiar with that scripture? Say amen. Yes, I'm familiar with that scripture, preacher. Why a new heaven? Where did sin start? The devil got kicked out of heaven because of pride. Is that not sin? New heaven will have to come in place. What about the earth? Well, preacher, I know Adam sinned and you said that this crown of thorns represents the earth has to be replaced. Listen, we said it's the curse of God on the earth. Verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Bible says the thorns and the briars is rejected. Jesus, as He bears that crown, has been rejected by His own. He came into His own and His own received Him not. It is the crown of rejection. It is also a crown of substitution. As you and I, my friend, by our sin, rejected His message. But thanks be unto God, He's given many of us a second chance and a third chance to get right with Him about it. I want to go into the last point this morning. If you would turn all the way back to Genesis chapter number 22. Still thinking on this crown of thorns. It is a crown of misery. It is a crown that shows His mission. And it is a crown that shows His ministry. Every step of the way, He felt the cut of the thorns. He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. What else did He say? He said, I give my life for the sheep. Why? Because He's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. He said, I'm not willing that my sheep would have to bear this crown. You know, this is, we got this from the Middle East and try to keep it in a special place so the children won't get hurt on it. And we've got a little figurine that someone made us years ago. It's a lamb. And we hang this around His neck. It's where it stays all the time. And it's figurative this morning of what we're going to be reading. He said, I give my life for the sheep. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We see His ministry. It is a ministry of love, a ministry of sacrifice. In Genesis 22, verse number 2. God speaking here says, take now thy son. Speaking to Abraham, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Think about it. For years, Abraham had been promised an heir, promised a child, but he could not have that child. But here God's blessing now has been produced, and Isaac has been born. And He said, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He said, Abraham, I want you to offer your son as a burnt offering. That's what it said. Offer him there for a burnt offering. Abraham argued with God. No, it's not what it says. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder in worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now notice this. Abraham's not seen that lamb yet. He's acting in faith. And my Bible says that so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar with the wood. Luke, I want you to come here, son. I want you to be Isaac. He got him. He took him, and the Bible says he bound him up. He bound him. He tied his own son up. I want you to lay right here. He laid him there on the altar. Just lay your head down. He laid him there on the altar. He's going to take his only son and give him back to God because he believes, you know what? God can raise him up again. Right. If God gave me him, he can do all things. Right. Now Luke, you stay right there. You stay right there, son. And they came to the place which God had told him thereof, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. There he is. He's got him with the knife drawn back, ready to sacrifice his only son, just like God had told him. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Here he is, knife drawn, ready to sacrifice his son. His son laid there, perfectly trusting his daddy Abraham. Perfectly trusting him. He had asked the question, where's the lamb? His daddy had said, God will provide himself a lamb. His son said, that's good enough for me. I just believe you. I just believe that message. Hey, I just believe that message this morning. I believe God has provided himself a lamb, don't you? Hallelujah for the message that little old Isaac simply believed. He drew back the knife, and the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, I know that you've not spared your own son. You can stop there. He let little old Isaac up, and about that time, behind him was a ram, which is a sheep, a lamb, caught in the thicket by his horns. What is a thicket but thorns and thistles and briars? You can go sit back down, son. There's that lamb caught in the thicket by his horns. Symbolic, looking forward thousands of years later. Went up a little old hill called Calvary. Look behind us, y'all. Look behind us back there years ago. God's got himself a lamb as he carries that cross, as he has that crown of thorns on his head, saying, I bore your sin. I'm going to give my life for your life that you might go free. If you'll trust me, my blood will wash all your sins away. Hey, I'm glad this morning then for his crown of thorns, which he wore for me. You stand with me this morning. If you folks had come to the instruments, please, this morning. While they're coming, I want to read one more verse, and I want you to hear this. You and I, because we've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to wear that old crown of thorns, amen? He's bore it for us. We realize that that crown of thorns represents the curse of sin. It's what it represents. Now watch this in the book of Revelations. There shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. I wonder if it be a face that when I see it, I'll see the prints where the crown was there. So sharp and scarred his forehead there. They shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. You know what ought to be in my forehead? The scars of the crown of thorns should be in my forehead. But when I land in that city, the only thing will be in my forehead is his name. Because I belong to him. Amen. Bless his holy name. Amen. You'd bow your heads with me this morning. Nobody looking. You mind God this morning? Maybe you need to come this altar and speak to him. You mind him this morning? You do what God says do. Might be somebody here say, preacher, I want to thank Him for bearing my crown, bearing my sin, taking my place. I'm certain it was a crown that you and I could not bear. Folks are still coming. Father, this morning, God, as we pause to worship this morning, call upon Your holy name, God, we want You to know that we thank You for a sin-bearing Savior, one who is willing to take our sin. Gladly He took our reproach. Gladly He took our pain, our agony, our suffering. He took our sin. And God, I'm thankful Jesus bore that crown of thorns and that cross upon His back, the scourging from the cat of nine tails. Lord, I thank You for the love You've shown me. You didn't just tell me about You that You love me, but You went out and even showed me about Your love, and I thank You so very much more for not just telling me, but showing me. Lord, I'm thankful then on the third day as Jesus was raised. He was raised victorious over death, hell, and the grave. As He returns one day, Father, and every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings to the glory of God the Father, He'll be crowned no longer with a crown of thorns, but with a crown which only God Himself can give. A royal diadem will be brought forth and placed upon Him. Lord, I'm glad we're going to a land where there's no more curse, no more bramble bushes, no more briars, no more thorns and no more thistles. All is peace and rest in that land. Happy, happy, happy are the redeemed today, because we do not have to wear a crown of thorns. Thank You for our sin-bearing Savior. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.